Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast, your source for policy rants and raves and carefully planned humor. I'm Evan Schwartzschreiber, your host. On today's show, the Imperial FCC. At an oversight hearing on Wednesday, FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler refused to commit to step down after the election of a new president, breaking with a century of tradition for independent regulatory commissions. What does this mean for the future of the FCC? Joining me to discuss this is Emperor of Tech Freedom, Baron Soka. Baron, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, as if you had any choice.
Well, yes, if I had a choice, then yeah. So Baron, is this really that big of a
deal? Are you not going to mention our guest, special guest today?
Well, of course. Joining us also in the studio is my lovely mother, Billy Schwartzschreiber, who is here to complain to Baron that he doesn't let me talk enough on the podcast.
And also provide a laugh track, as you may be able to hear in the background.
Yes, because, of course, the best way to convince people that we're funny is canned laughter.
Well, my mom's not quite so funny, so we'll see. We might have her on the show sometime soon.
Yeah, I hope she doesn't listen to it after that insult.
But she's very critical, so she might have plenty of feedback to offer.
All right, well, we're a minute and a half in, and we have yet to do anything substantive, so let's get to the program.
But you know this is how most podcasts work, right?
Oh, a little banter at the beginning?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, well, let's hope this was worth it. So, Baron, is this really that big of a deal? I mean, yes, Chairman Wheeler refusing to step down, but, of course, he will... I mean, the president appoints commissioners, and the commission is always 3-2 in favor of the president's party. So it's not like he's just going to take over the FCC under a President Trump, right?
Well, that's not exactly right. I mean, we say that the commission is always 3-2, but what we actually mean is the law says that you cannot appoint more than three commissioners of the president's party.
Ah.
Now, this is important in two ways. Number one, it means that if the current commissioners stay on, they can't be removed. And then number two is, we'll get to later, the other two commissioners don't actually have to be of the opposing party. They just have to be not of the president's party. So what's happening here is, normally, and in almost every case, I have only found one exception thus far, in almost every case, it's just not a big deal. The chairman of an agency just agrees that whoever wins the election, they will agree to step down unless the new president, whether it's of their party or the opposite party, asks them to stay on. It's not a big deal. It just happens as a matter of course. And that's why, as you say, it just happens that the new president gets to replace the chairman and put someone in that seat so that control of the agency flips. Tom Wheeler, at the hearing, refused to commit to doing that.
So there really is no law requiring that when a new president is elected that they be given the power to change control of the FCC back to their party?
Exactly. That's the point here. It only is that the chairman, who still has time left on his term, Tom Wheeler's term doesn't end until November 2018, just agrees that they will step down. And again, it's just not controversial. It happens essentially automatically. But here, Tom Wheeler has refused to do so. And what that effectively does is screw the other Democrat on the commission who needs to be reconfirmed. Jessica Rosenworcel, her term expired last June. She was renominated in May, and her nomination has been sitting with no action since then because of this, because Tom Wheeler has refused, apparently privately until this hearing, to commit to stepping down. And then finally, apparently, the Senate Republicans, Chairman Thune, decided they were going to turn up the pressure and put him on the spot publicly, probably knowing he wasn't going to say anything differently. He didn't. He said, took exactly the same position. Jessica Rosenworcel sat there next to him, just trying to put a good face on it, but realizing that if he doesn't relent, she is going to have to leave the commission when the new Congress takes over, and Tom Wheeler is going to stay on.
Right, because if a new president, assuming it's a Republican, needed to take control of the commission and Wheeler refuses to leave, then Jessica Rosenworcel would have to leave give that third Republican.
No, that's not why. This is again the thing that confuses people. Remember, the only thing that requires them to leave is the time on their terms.
Right.
And Tom Wheeler's term goes till 2018. Jessica's has run out. And if your term runs out in the middle of a Congress, you can stay until the end of that Congress, but not into the next one. So right now, the status quo is Wheeler's on the commission until 2018. Jessica leaves at the beginning of January. New president takes over and will then get to replace her. And by the way, even if Tom Wheeler does stay, the new president can always change who he or she designates as the chairman, but they cannot remove a commissioner. So that's the dynamic here. In other words, to put it more succinctly, there's no way Republicans are going to reconfirm Jessica if Tom Wheeler refuses to give up his seat, because that would mean that there would then be three Democrats who could continue if they wanted to on the commission, even if the Republicans took the White House.
Right. That's what I was suggesting, is that the fact that she needs to be reconfirmed is that fail-safe that Republicans have to make sure that they get control
exactly.
if they win the White House because Tom Wheeler is refusing. Now, the Democrats have largely been in lockstep on a host of really important issues, 3-2 votes on the open internet order, which was the net neutrality regulations, which reclassified the internet under 1934 utility rules. I mean, why would Chairman Wheeler do something to jeopardize the renomination of his colleague who supported him on the single biggest vote the FCC has taken in recent memory?
Well, it's a great question. I can't say exactly, but I can just point out that while Jessica has voted with the chairman on almost every item, the key word there is almost. She has bucked him on some very important items, and probably on the single most important item that he ever faced, which was how to handle net neutrality. She, back in May of 2014, when the chairman was rushing to get his proposal out the door to deal with the FCC's loss on its net neutrality rules at the D.C. Circuit, he had a proposal. He rushed out the door. She dissented. She said, look, we should have taken more time to get this right. This is really being not given enough thought. She ended up agreeing with Republicans, even though they had very different ideas about what should be done. She wanted to do something more like what he ended up doing, which was using Title II. But he, I don't think he ever forgave her for that. And it's not the only time that she's demonstrated some independence. And it really seems that for this chairman, any amount of independence is too much. He really expects everyone to fall in line and seems to be willing to take it out on them when they don't.
And it's worth noting that the May 2014 proposal that you suggest that the chairman was rushing out the door was a form of net neutrality regulation, but compared to the Title II reclassification of broadband as a telecommunications service, that proposal was very modest. So would you say that maybe Commissioner Rosenworcel's opposition to that order just on procedural grounds, saying they didn't take enough time, did that help pave the way for activists and the president to call for a much more radical proposal that maybe Chairman Wheeler to this day never wanted this to go this way, but was forced into it by his fellow commissioner and the president and activists who literally blocked his driveway because he wasn't being strong enough on internet regulation?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's not really fundamentally about the policy outcome. It's that Tom Wheeler felt humiliated. He had taken a position that he had to abandon. As you say, he literally had activists come block his driveway. There was really nothing sadder in all the years I've been doing tech policy than the video of him trying to figure out how to respond to them. I mean, he could have called a frigging Uber, and he instead stood in his driveway and tried to sing with them and you know, co-opt them. And it really demonstrates just how profoundly arrogant he is, that he really imagines that he can steer anyone to his will. So here, there are lots of things that could have driven his motivation, and it's really only speculation on my part, but it's certainly true that that he then, after the president essentially told him what to do, he had to very quickly flip-flop. And then the second most painful thing that I've seen in the years I've been doing tech policy was his speech at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas just after the president gave that speech, where he sat there and contorted himself like a pretzel, trying to explain to the audience that he was going to do what the president told him to do before the president told him to do it, which everybody knows is not true. I mean,
right.
that's it's very clear in all the reporting that's come out that he was essentially told what to do, and he flip-flopped. And I think, frankly, he probably looked for someone to take that out on, and he's picking on the two. There are two women on the commission, two Democrats. He's picking on one of them, and it's just about the pettiest thing you could imagine someone doing.
Yeah, just to recap the timeline a little bit there, May 2014 was the modest proposal. That got a lot of criticism from comedian John Oliver, his infamous bit that really had a lot more influence than you would think a comedian could have on policymaking. Then in November, President Obama directed a supposedly independent agency to do what he wanted. And then really, it was amazing to see Chairman Wheeler act like Title II was always on the table when that was never really a major part of his original proposal. And one of the grounds for the lawsuit that we're involved in to overturn these regulations is just the mere fact that he didn't give proper notice. When you unveil a modest proposal, ask everyone to comment on that, and then radically switch to another proposal and don't open a new round of comments, that's a procedural problem, whether or not you think the regulations are wise.
Yeah, there's another irony here, which is that the only reason that Title II is even mentioned in the notice of proposed rulemaking that was put out in a rushed fashion, again, and it was in Jessica Rosenworcel,
right,
objecting to how rushed it was because Jessica insisted on getting Title II mentioned. So there are many levels of irony here. I mean, if the FCC does end up winning and the court says that it did provide fair notice, it's only going to be because Jessica at least got a brief mention of it in there. Now, I happen to think Jessica was right that the order was rushed. I think she was wrong that Title II was a good idea. I disagree with her on that, but it's not really about who you disagree with or which side you take. I mean, what happened at this hearing is just nothing short of breathtaking that a sitting Democrat FCC chairman is willing to let one of his fellow Democrats on the commission, somebody who, if anything, is even more progressive than he is, really disappear from the commission, go up in smoke on January 3rd because of apparently a petty acts that he has to grind against her. Now, there are some people in the media who've covered this and said something like, oh, well, it's really just Republicans obstructing the nomination, and they were going to obstruct her anyway. And this only just happened yesterday, so we shouldn't read too much into it. But from everything that I can gather, this has been a long time coming. I mean, again, the president renominated her in May. This is now March. She hasn't moved for the very simple reason that Republicans just can't reconfirm her, because doing that again would give control of the commission to Democrats. Even if Republican wins the White House, there's just no way that's going to happen. And I think, if anything, the Republicans are playing this in too gentlemanly a fashion. They're not calling Tom Wheeler out on what he's really doing here, and that's allowing him to portray this as Republican obstructionism.
And would you wager that if Tom Wheeler hadn't done this, or if he had committed a long time ago, back when Commissioner Rosenworcel was renominated, that Republicans would have just kind of pushed through her nomination without much controversy? Is it atypical that a commissioner of the FCC has to wait this long to be confirmed?
It's definitely not typical. I mean, I will say, in fairness, it is possible that Republicans might have put a hold on her nomination regardless, just because they're so upset with how the FCC has been run. That is certainly true. But there's no chance in hell that she'll actually get through so long as Wheeler refuses to give up his seat.
And it's worth noting also that the Republican commissioners on the FCC, we had Commissioner Pai on the podcast twice, they've complained about being kept out of the loop on major votes and just not getting the information they need and backroom deals. And really, I guess it shouldn't be any surprise that if he treats maybe it's surprising that, yes, he treats the Republican commissioners in this way, but you would think maybe he had a little bit more love for his colleagues.
Yeah, he doesn't. Look, Tom Wheeler put it best. When he had to change gears and he put out initial comments about what the agency was going to do, they decided not to issue a new round of public comments right after the president gave his speech. And instead, they had a series of private meetings. That was their way of getting more public input on this radically different Title II proposal. And in one of those meetings, there were concerns expressed from some of the people there about what was happening to the agency and about its independence and what was being done to it. And Tom Wheeler, according to press reports, angrily said repeatedly at the meeting, said, "I am an independent agency." And I think that that statement is just so revealing that for him, it's not the FCC is an independent agency. Don't worry, we're continuing to make our own decisions. It's no, I, Tom Wheeler, am the decider. In other words, it's like George W. Bush standing on the aircraft carrier, you know, mission accomplished, I'm the decider, except without that, you know, kind of, you kind of would be okay with having a beer with him kind of thing. I mean, in other words, he's arrogant, he's unwilling to listen to other people, and he's really not very nice at dealing with people who disagree with him, even if they're Democrats. And Commissioner Pai has detailed this. He has done everything he can to withhold information from his fellow commissioners and to run what is supposed to be a multi-member body as if it were just headed by a single commissioner, as executive branch agencies are. And that's why I call this in my op-ed, it's the imperial chairmanship. It's an extension of the imperial presidency. He's essentially doing the bidding of the White House, and he's attempting to run the FCC in an extremely undemocratic fashion.
Well, he says he's an independent agency, and I guess the ultimate act of independence would be to break with 100 years of tradition about how independent agencies are made up and how nominations are made and confirmed. Now, let's talk about the impact that breaking with this tradition might have. In the early 90s, Republicans and Democrats made a deal that that while the president, of course, is in control of appointments and even the minority party appointments, that really they would get direction from that by the minority leader in the Senate, so that or the majority leader, whoever controls the Senate. So the basic idea in today's world would be that if a Republican's term ended and they left the FCC, that President Obama would look to Mitch McConnell, the Senate majority leader. Who do you want on the commission? I'll nominate them and they'll be the commissioner. Like, that's how it's been done. Do you think that this refusal by Chairman Wheeler to give up his post in a Republican presidency is going to undermine that deal, not just for the FCC, but for every regulatory agency?
Yeah. So at a minimum, even talking about this, even the fact that he's been willing to throw out what has been an assumption makes that more likely. But if he actually does persist and he does stay on into the next commission, or next presidency, the big question is what happens if it's a Donald Trump presidency? I mean, I can't believe we're actually talking about this, but it is a real possibility.
Yeah.
And you know, in the first instance, you might think, well, gosh, he's staying on so he can defend the internet from Donald shut down parts of the internet, Trump. But as I keep saying here, it's not a question of having both Rosenworcel and Wheeler stay on, because there's just no way that Republicans in the Senate today are going to reconfirm her if there's even a chance that he'll stay on.
Right.
So really all we're talking about is it going to be Wheeler who stays on until 2018, or is it Rosenworcel? So in other words, even if you thought that there was some public interest benefit here, even that story doesn't work, right? If anything, his staying on instead of Rosenworcel just means that Donald Trump would get to replace him too. Instead of Rosenworcel, who could really ride out the Trump clear winter the next 4 years, because her term would be good for 7 years. So what does that mean? Number one, Donald Trump is going to get to fill another seat. So now maybe that seat is going to be Rosenworcel's. Right now, if nothing changes and Rosenworcel is not confirmed, her seat is going to be vacant and Donald Trump is going to get to fill it. And there's no reason to think that he will do what past presidents have done of deferring to Democrats in the Senate to make that choice. And as I emphasized at the beginning here, it's not even a Democrat that actually has to be in that seat. It could be an independent. It just has to not be a Republican. We already know that Donald Trump has attracted a very bizarre set of strange bedfellows. He could very easily fill that seat with one of his own people and make that person chairman.
Or maybe someone who won Celebrity Apprentice or a close runner-up. I'm sure there's a great pool of contestants from that TV show to run the FCC.
Yeah, exactly. And then in 2018, if this actually happens, he would get to replace Wheeler too. In other words, he could actually end up packing the FCC. And what Wheeler's doing now would really make that easier.
Well, in addition to potentially having an opportunity to nominate someone very unconventional to the FCC. I could imagine that a Trump presidency might involve a big button in the Oval Office that says internet. And anytime a terrorist is up to some shenanigans on the internet, he can just turn it off because that way we win. And well, winning is the most important thing, obviously.
You joke about that, but it's actually worth pointing out that, something that doesn't get a lot of attention. We talk a lot about the idea of the internet kill switch. That's a metaphor that critics of regulation have used in the past. That actually was used in Egypt. The Mubarak government actually did flip that kill switch and shut down the internet. But the fact is that there is already a kill switch in U.S. law. It's a little known provision of the Communications Act, Section 606, that allows the president in times of emergency to shut down communications networks. That's exactly the kind of worst-case scenario thing you should expect to see from a Trump administration, and I don't think it's unrealistic to talk about that from a man who really does throw out offhanded comments about shutting down parts of the internet.
Yeah, I mean, we could do, and maybe we might do a whole show just to talk about what a bizarre world a Trump-controlled FCC would be. But before we go, Barron, how do you see this playing out? You know, on Wednesday, the chairman refused to step down. Not much time has passed since then, and as you said, some journalists are suggesting that, you know, maybe we're reading too much into this. What's the timeline? What should listeners be looking out for on this arguably petty fight?
Well, it's certainly possible that he is he's biding his time, and that he might relent, and that you might get a deal with Senate Republicans later this year, perhaps after the election. On the other hand, it's possible that that he won't. And then there's a third possibility that maybe it's true that the Senate won't confirm anybody and that Rosenworcel just isn't going to get reconfirmed, and that he's merely trying to ensure that Democrats do have another seat on the FCC. I mean, that's possible, but I think if that were really what he was trying to do, he could very easily turn this back on Republicans and just say something like, "Look, if you simply agree to reconfirm Jessica, I'll agree to resign." I mean, all of this normally happens behind closed doors. What's astonishing here is that this came out into the public view. And again, I think we have to assume that Republicans essentially just gave up trying to negotiate with him and finally decided to ask the question in public.
Well, that's it for today's show. My guest has been Emperor of Tech Freedom and President of Tech Freedom, Barron Soka. Barron, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I will note that your mom did not really laugh much during the show, which probably indicates that I'm not funny. But I bet if you had said more, she would have laughed.
Oh, yeah,
am I right?
Is it time for happy hour?
She'd be willing to shill for me anytime. But and Barron, listeners will be making sure to look out for you throwing your hat into the ring. I'm sure that after all the lovely things you've said about future dictator Trump, he'll be really excited to nominate you to that post.
Well, look, we'll talk about this more, but we've been in opposition before. We did not get along well with the last Republican FCC chairman either. You know, we're not a partisan organization. We have had many differences with Republicans. We've found a lot of common ground with Democrats, and I just think it's really sad that that we've come to not only to the Trump craziness, but also that routine things like this, like the transition in agencies, are becoming political footballs and indeed opportunities for Democrats to try to screw each other. Not even Democrats screwing Republicans or vice versa. It does not bode well for the future.
Well, on that optimistic note, follow us on Twitter at Tech Freedom or on Facebook.com/Tech Freedom. Find this podcast in the iTunes.
Yeah, you're going to need us more in the coming Trump administration.
Yes. find this podcast in the iTunes store on your favorite podcast app. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review. It will help others find the show, and it will help us survive a Trump FCC. Thank you for listening.
The Tech Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work, make a tax-deductible donation, or find other episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.